I was put to tune this scripture. I thought about it. Amazing verse from chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. It's verse 9. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Sadly, that's not true for every Christian. They may be born again, they don't really know the grace. They don't know what grace is. They don't know how big grace is. Paul says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," and then he describes it. He said, "This is what it looks like, that though he was rich," let's stop talking about money. Just think of how rich Jesus was spiritually and in every way in heaven. "And though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor." Now think about that. All that he was in heaven, though he was rich, he became poor for your sake, that you might, through his poverty, become rich. And all the unsearchable riches of Christ become yours. That's grace, that Jesus stepped out of eternity, God stepped out of eternity and became one of us. He became poor. He took on our spiritual poverty that we might become rich in him, participate in his spiritual riches. Just amazing. How much is God's love? How big is God's love? That God would say, "I'll step into the slime. I'll take all the muck. I'll go as deep and as dark as they have gone. I'll step into the cruelty and the evil and the perversion. I'll step into all that. And I'll take it all on myself. I'll become as poor as they are collectively. And then take all that to the cross. So that risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, we can now participate in all the riches of Christ." And we didn't do anything to deserve it, didn't even ask for it. He just did it. Now, one aspect of that, there's so many things, but there's one aspect of that the Lord is speaking to me this morning that I just want to emphasize. This is in Colossians chapter 2. I'll just start in verse 9, but we'll talk about a little bit the latter verses. "For in Jesus, all the fullness of deity is in bodily form, and in him you have been made full and complete." That's a pretty powerful statement. "And in him you were also circumcised with a spiritual circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you yourself were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God's grace, who raised him from the dead." And these next few verses are stunning. "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions." Now hear this verse again. The word "having forgiven" is in the perfect tense. Perfect tense means completed action in the past with continual present tense result. So hear what he says again. This grace, this amazing grace. "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh," when you're dead in your transgressions, dead people can't do anything about their condition. They're absolutely helpless and completely hopeless. Now, he's talking about what he accomplished at the cross. So I want you to understand that everything he's talking about here in terms of your transgressions was all that you've ever done and ever will do. He saw it all. All your sins were future. Not past, but future. "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you," that's grace, he did it, "alive together in union with Christ, having forgiven all your transgressions." Everyone you'll ever commit, everyone you've ever committed. That one, the worst one you can think of. This we'll probably talk about again Sunday. This is what he says. This is how he did it. Having canceled out their certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Now, what this scripture says is this. In the days of Christ, if you were under a lot of debt, your creditor would put on the door of your house, wherever you lived, a list, a certificate of debt, and it was listed everything that you owed, everything. So think about the certificate of debt on the door of our life of every sin you've ever committed. That's what the law does. But the language it says, he said, and he took it, having taken it all away, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting that was against us, consisting of decrees against us, that was hostile to us, he has taken it out of the way. The word cancel here means, literally means to rub out. Rub out so that there's not even a trace, you'd never know it was ever there. You know, like if you have a pencil and you write stuff in and you erase it, there's still that indention, it left a little mark. You can kind of trace it. But the blood of Christ is such an eraser that there's no evidence there was anything ever written there. That's what the word means. Having canceled out, it's amazing, the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us. And the word, then he goes on, he says, and he has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. To take it out of the way, that's a single word. It means to lift something up, to lift something off, and put it somewhere else. And what he says here, to lift something up, take it away, and nail it to something else. So what did he do? Jesus walked to the door of your life, and there was nailed on that door for all to see, for all of heaven to see, everything you've ever done. This was 2,000 years ago. So your history, your future was not even happened yet, but he saw it all. And he lifted it off the door of your life and then nailed it on the cross as if he was responsible for all those things, as if he had done all those things. He became sin on our behalf. He became the one in debt on our behalf. And these decrees were hostile to us. You know what I'm saying? Those things that keep coming to your mind, maybe even people want to remind you of them, those things that are hostile to you, that keep attacking you, the enemy uses to make you feel guilty and condemned, he says, he has rubbed them out because what he did was take them, lift them off the door of your story, nailed them as if it was his story, and he was crucified as us, and all that stuff was buried. And we're now raised up with him, and his record is now my record. And when I was thinking about that, I was just thinking about some of the things in all these decades of being a pastor. And I was thinking, so Lord, like, what about that one? That particular kind of sin, he said, I anticipated it at the cross. I bore it away. I rubbed it out. I took it off, put it on myself. He said, people try to carry what he carried on the hardwood of the cross because they can't carry it and there's no need to. As far as he's concerned, it no longer exists. He canceled it. He rubbed it out. He lifted it up, nailed it on the door of his life as if it was his story, and that story was crucified. Now, does that cause a person to go, well, I can just do anything I want to now? Because, no, grace causes you to go, oh my God, I want to fall down before you. It changes your heart. But remember, God doesn't change people by threatening to take their candy away from them. He changes people by offering the best candy you ever had in your life. That's the offer. But forgiveness, grace is this big and this profound that everything you've ever done or ever will do, he said, having forgiven us of all transgressions. What? You mean he's already forgiven me for everything I'm ever going to do or ever have done? I thought I had to go before him and beg him for forgiveness all the time. It's not what it says. 1 John 1:9 doesn't say what you think it says, or it would contradict this. We go before him owning our stuff to claim once again our cleansing and forgiveness that he's already accomplished for us so that we can walk out. Because see, that's what grace does. Grace wants you to go, oh my gosh, that's not me. Thank you, Lord, I did this thing. I don't want to do this thing anymore because I'm a new creation. I'm so grateful that I'm forgiven. And I'm thankful for the cleansing power of your blood. Whew, I'm going to go at it again now. That's the story. That's what he did. It's hard to believe because we don't really understand grace because we don't treat people that way. But when I have people tell me, well, yeah, but so I can just do this all I want to because there's grace. Grace isn't just forgiveness, but grace is also the free gift of God's enabling to walk out of that. He came to set us free from the reign of sin. That includes forgiveness, but also it transforms who you are so you don't have to get in that mess again and live like that. Somebody tells me, well, I just sin tonight. There's this grace. I'll say to you, you don't understand grace at all. I mean, we need to step back and check and make sure you're actually born again. Because God's given you a new heart, and that new heart wants to be free. Well, he's given you a new power, grace, to walk in freedom. But he's also, the grace has offered such forgiveness, you don't have to look back over your shoulder ever again. You don't have to listen to the enemy be hostile to you, to use what you did as a hostile thing to make you feel guilty and condemn. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amazing. It's so amazing it's hard to preach about. You know why? Because it's hard to explain. It sounds too easy. It sounds like cheap grace. Well, it's not cheap. He paid a huge price for it. And you know what? It is easy. Because he knew we couldn't get it right unless he made it easy. That's the whole point. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.